Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 16 lines from the top of Daf Mem in Kiddushin. Before we begin the actual Daf, we glance at the side of the Gemara, where we have a topic heading, which reads, Loma Shiluach HaKein Shekosuv Bo Leman Yitav Loch Varachta Yomim. Why is it that the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, the sending away of a mother bird from her nest when you want to take the eggs, why where the Pasuk says that as a reward for that mitzvah, one will merit a good and long life. Lo kalul birashimas hamitzvah shebemoker elu dvorim. We have a Tanaic source that makes mention of mitzvahs that one benefits from them in this world, and the principal benefit, the principal reward, is in the world to come. The pasuk by Shiluach HaKein would indicate that it is in fact that kind of mitzvah as well, whose benefit is experienced in this world, and the principle is in the world to come. So why does it not appear in the list of other mitzvahs that have that characteristic with regard to their reward? The Gemara. Rami le Rava le Rav Nachman. Rami usually means he raises a contradiction. In this case, it's basically a question. Of course, the raising of a contradiction is a form of a question. Here, Rava raises a question. We have it marked as a long question. You can see how many lines it covers. And Rava raises this question to Rav Nachman Tanan. We have the source that says, Elu dvorim she'adam oisa oisam. The following are those things that a person does, those mitzvahs that a person does. V'yoychu b'yosem b'olam hazeh. He benefits from reward wise in this world. Literally, the benefits, like the dividends, the fruits of it, the fruits of the mitzvah, the benefit in this world. V'hakeren kemes olam haba, which means the principal reward is in the world to come. Eluhain, and the following are the list of those mitzvahs: kibud av v'em, respect of parents; gemilus chasodim, acts of loving kindness; v'avos shalom einam l'chavero, creating peace and equanimity between fellow man; the Talmud Torah keneged kulam, and above all is the study of Torah. And you'll see now the Gemara itemizes each one of these mitzvahs, and we've highlighted that with a double underline. You skim ahead, you can see how we've highlighted each mitzvah, and following the highlighted mitzvah you have a verse. And you'll see that the verses have a common theme, and then the question will come to a head. What about Shiluach HaKein? Why is it not in this list? The Gemara continues, Bekibud av v'ein ksiv, regarding respect of father and mother, the Torah says, Leman yarichun yomecha uleman itav loch, in reward for fulfilling the mitzvah of honoring parents. So a person is promised a long life and a good life. Here we're not focusing on the literal and the deep meaning of each one of the psukim, but we're giving you a flavor, we'll say, of each one of these psukim. Begemilas chasodim ksiv, regarding acts of loving kindness, it says, roidev tztok of a chesed yimsa chayim tztok of a chavod. One who pursues righteousness, charity and righteousness, will find life and stoka and honor. V'havo shalom ksiv bakei shalom v'rodfehu. Notice we've dashed underlined the word v'rodfehu, and the line before we also dashed underlined the word rodef. Yomer b'yavo asya redifa redifa. Rabbi Yavo makes reference to a Asya means there comes forth a gezeira shav. In other words, there's grounds for a word comparison. Ksiv halcha bakesh shalom virod fehu, regarding creating peace and equanimity between fellow man. Havoah shalom, you see the word rod fehu. Ksiv hasam, and regarding acts of loving kindness, it says roidef tztoka vochesed. And in that context, it says that if you pursue charity and loving kindness, you will find chayim, life and honor. The Talmud Torah Ksiv, regarding the study of Torah, it says, "Ki hu chayecha v'orech yomecha." It is your life and the length thereof. In other words, once again, reference to a long life. As a reward for the study of Torah. Now the question, b'shiluach ha'kein amiksiv, regarding shiluach ha'kein, the Torah says, l'man yitav loch v'harachto yomim. A pasuk that is very much similar to the psukim that we have seen till now regarding other mitzvahs. Lisni nami ho. So, in the list of four mitzvahs that we saw above, should this not be a fifth? The Gemara answers, Tana v'shier. The Tana taught a list and left it out. The Gemara asks, what do you mean it left it out? That the list above is incomplete. Tani Tana Elu Dvarim. The Tana opens up, that Tanaic source opens up with a very restrictive and defining list by saying, these are the things. When you speak like that, when you have an opening to a source by saying these are the things, you would assume that it means these and not anything else. The At Amr is Tana Vashir, and you're saying that the Tana taught a list and left out things? Very unlikely. Omar Rava. So Rava tells us that Rav Idi Asbarali, Rav Idi explained to me. And before we go on, let's give the essence of his answer. And you see, we have a long answer marking, so it's important ahead of time to realize what the goal of this answer is. And the answer is that the list above, that we would call the list of Elu Dvarim, the four mitzvahs that we highlighted above, those are things where you find that the individual is, in Hebrew, Toiv LaShamayim and Toiv LaBrios. He is good to heaven and he is good to fellow man. As opposed to Shiluach HaKein, it's a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah which we would categorize as doing something that has a benefit in a heavenly sense, but it's not something that you see, certainly you don't see the benefit, through earthly eyes, you don't see the benefit that it provides to fellow man. Respective parents, on the other hand, and bringing peace amongst men, and acts of loving kindness, the study of Torah, certainly when you study Torah, so you know how to do acts of loving kindness in a proper way, so that stands above all the rest. That's a list that has benefit to not only in the heavenly sense that you're fulfilling the will of God, but it has immediate benefit to fellow man. We can't say that regarding Shiluach HaKein. Now, I would not rule out the we'll call it the mystical level, or on a deeper level, that Shiluach HaKein might in fact have societal benefit. But on the immediate level, on the superficial level, we would say that it's a fulfillment of a precept of the Almighty without any, say, immediate or obvious social ramifications. Hence, it doesn't conform to the list of four mitzvahs featured above. Now, we'll see this in the Gemara. So Rav Idi explained to Rava, there's a pasuk that says, Imru tzadik ki toiv ki pri malalehem yochelu. In the pasuk, it speaks about a tzaddik that's good. A tzaddik is a righteous individual. So there seems to be redundancy here. Tzaddik ki tov. V'chi yesh tzaddik tov, v'yesh tzaddik sheino tov. Is there such a person that you would describe as a righteous person that's good and a righteous person that's not good? Ella. Rather, there is an allusion in the pasuk to the following: Toiv l'shamayim v'labrios. A person who is a consummate, righteous individual. He is righteous with regard to heavenly commandments and with regard to social obligations. That's Zehu Tov Tzadik Tov. That's the consummate, righteous individual. Tov L'Shamayim V'Ra'a L'Brios. Someone who is diligent in performing mitzvahs that are of a ritual nature. But he's not positive toward a fellow man. Zehu tzadik she'eno tov. He's a tzadik in the sense that he's diligent in his fulfillment of heavenly precepts, but he's uncouth, he's ra labrio, so we can't say that he's tov. Therefore, he's a tzadik, but eino tov. Kayotze b'dover otomer, in a similar vein, we have a pasuk that says, oy l'rosho ra, ki gmul yodov yaseh lo. That's the pasuk. We're focusing on a particular phrase. The pasuk said, Rosh Ra, Yesh Rosh Ra. Rosh is an evil person. Is there an evil person that's bad? Yesh Rosh Sheino Ra. How could that be? Ella, and we continue with the breakdown. Ra La Shamayim V'Ra La Brios. He doesn't perform heavenly precepts. He is an uncouth individual. So who Rosh Ra? He's the consummate evil individual. Ra l'shamayim v'eino ra l'brios. He does not perform heavenly commands, ritual fulfillment of mitzvahs. However, he's not uncouth. So zehu rosha she'eino ra. He's wicked, but he's not wicked and also bad. Often, I've pointed this out many times in Gemara markings, that sometimes things get lost in translation. And here too, I think something is getting lost in translation, but we translate it all the same. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source. And before we go on, I just want to point out that we had answered the question of why Shiluach HaKein is not in the source above. So the answer was that the source above contained a list of mitzvos that are Tov LaShamayim and Tov LaBrios. Whereas Shiluach HaKein is Tov LaShamayim, there's no obvious connection between it and it also being Tov LaBrios. Hence, it didn't appear in the list. The topic heading introducing this section of Gemara you find in the margin under the Nosei, and it says as follows: Zchus, merit, Yesh lo keren uperos, fulfilling mitzvos, accumulating merit, has, in terms of reward, there's a principal reward, and there's also, we'll say, tangential dividends. Sin, on the other hand, doesn't have peros. Sin, a person is held accountable for the actual sin, and there's no, say, collateral results. Another point that will be developed here is hevdel bein machshava toiva lemachshava ra. Positive thoughts, positive planning, versus evil thoughts or scheming. The Gemara. Hazchus yesh lo keren v'yesh lo peros. Merit has a source of principal reward, and it also has collateral benefit. Shenemar imru tzadik ki toiv ki pri ma'alaleihem yochelu. In the pasuk you see reference to the righteous and the pre, the fruits, that's the, we'll say, the tangential or the collateral benefit, malem, of their actions. They get not only principal reward, but also there is residual reward. Avera yesh law keren v'ein law peros. For sin, there's a basic punishment, but there is no additional collateral punishment, so that when we speak about a person being punished for sin, he's punished for the sin itself. Shenema oy l'rosh hara, higmu yodov ye'aseh lo. Woe unto the evil man who will be paid for what he did. The Brisa here asks, velomani mekayim, what am I to do with the following pasuk? When you look at the following pasuk in context, you'll see in Mishlei, Perek Aleph, pasuk Lamed Aleph, you'll see that it's written in the context of negative individuals, of bad people. And it says there, v'yochlu mipri darkom umi mo atso sehem yisbo. So you see, pri darkom. There is some type of collateral punishment for those that are sinners. And yet, we just said that when it comes to sin, there are no peros. The Gemara answers, avera she'oisa peros, yesh lo peros. A sin that produces, let's say, a sin that produces fruit. What would that be? A sin that produces more sin. What is that? So that's something like Chilul Hashem. What's Chilul Hashem? Chilul Hashem is a situation where a person of stature commits a sin. When a person of honor and stature commits a sin, people will learn from him and they'll follow suit. So you have the basic sin committed and then the fruits of it, the resultant additional sins that follow forth. That we call Chilul Hashem. That is what the Pasuk in Mishlei Perek Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, is referring to, V'yochlu mipri darkom. V'she'ein oisa peros, a type of sin that is committed without any additional fallout, ein lo peros. That's what the first Pasuk cited, oi l'rosha ra, refers to. Machshava toivo mitzarfo l'maisa. Positive thoughts, positive plannings are attached to the actual fulfillment, so that when a person fulfills a mitzvah, he will get reward not only for the basic mitzvah but for the planning stages as well. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Oz nidbru yirei Hashem ish el rehu vayakshev Hashem vayishma vayikosev sefer zikron lefanov lirei Hashem ulechoshvei shemo. I think what we want to emphasize in this pasuk, which describes the God-fearing individuals and how the Almighty listens to them, mention is made in this pasuk ulechoshvei shemo. Choshvei, people who even think about him, who plan mitzvah fulfillment. But before we continue, there is a bracketed section. Right after the brackets, you see the contrasting point of Machshava Ra mentioned. Within the brackets, the Gemara analyzes the pasuk we just read. Mai ulechoshvei shemo. We see pasuk making reference to people that are God-fearing. What is added by saying those that are choshvei shmo, literally that think about his name? Omar Vasi, afilu choshav odom la'asoyis mitzvah v'nenas v'lo asah, even someone who planned to do a mitzvah and because of circumstances beyond his control wasn't able to do the mitzvah, malav akosuv kilu asah, the Torah views him as if he fulfilled the mitzvah. Can you imagine a person that was, let's say, running to catch a bus to do Bikur Cholem, to visit the sick, and it was the only bus that went from where he lives to where the ailing individual was hospitalized. And as he's running to catch the bus, he trips and falls, and the bus pulls away from the bus stop, and the friend misses the bus, and that's it. He can't get there anymore. So what we're saying here is, you ran to catch the bus, you plan to do the Bikur Cholim, visiting of the sick, and because you happen to trip something beyond your control, you weren't able to do it, you get credit as if you did it. We continue in the source. Machshava ra, eina kodesh baruch mitzarfa lemaisa. A person who has, say, negative thoughts or, let's say, plans to do a mitzvah, plans to sin, he plans how to rob his neighbor. And he doesn't do it, though. So the Almighty does not if we go even one step further, a person planned to rob from his neighbor, and he did. He is punished for the robbery. He's punished for the sin, but he's not punished for the time that he spent planning the sin. Shenemar, Oven im roisi belibi lo yishma Hashem. Oven is a reference to sin. If I was thinking about it, but God does not heed it. Ah, ve'elo mo ani mekayem inani mevi'el ha'o mazeh ro pri machshav oisam. Here you see the Almighty says he will punish for the evil that was the fruit of their thoughts, so that there is accountability for thinking to sin. The Gemara answers, "Machshava she'isa pri Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lemaisa." Thoughts that carried out. Following the thoughts and the scheming, a sin is committed. So, unlike that which we said before, we had an example of someone planning to rob from his neighbor, and he went ahead and robbed. If he actually committed the theft, so that's a case of a machshava, which led to a maisa. So that a person will be held accountable for the thought stage as well. Machshava shein. A person who simply was scheming to sin but didn't sin, so then the Almighty discounts his thoughts. After all, the person did not actually sin. The Gemara asks, but there is a pasuk that says that the Almighty holds accountable those for those evil thoughts. Libam means in their hearts. They were thinking something evil, and they're held accountable. Omar Rav Acha Bar Yankiv. This is the first of a couple explanations. So Rav Acha Bar Yankiv says, "Hahu ba'avilus kechavim hu dichtiv." That's where the person was in his heart was thinking thoughts of idolatry. It is said that idolatry is such a serious offense that anyone who is engaged in idolatry, it's as if he's denying the entire Torah. What the Gemara has, as far as the text, which we did not translate literally, is that Gemara has presents it, which seemed to be that is presenting it as a euphemism. The literal reading of the Gemara is anyone who denies idolatry, it's as if he's admitting, he's acknowledging the entire Torah. That might also have truth to it, but personally, I think that the Gemara is presenting this in a euphemistic form. Minor correction. We mentioned that Rav Acha Bar Yankiv was the first of a couple explanations for the pasuk of Mlan Tfoises Beis Shabalibam, but it doesn't appear that way. Rather, he is the explanation of that, namely that there is accountability for evil thoughts as evil thoughts on their own, without actually executing the thoughts into an action. That applies to idolatry. The reference was made, like we said, 1 and 2. Here we have, as the Gemara continues, Ula Omar. Now, in our markings, you'll note we have a triangle with a Roman numeral number 2. On the side of the Gemara, which we didn't mention earlier, but under the Mivneh heading, we have two triangles, 1 and 2. They are Shnei Hezberim LaPosuk, that we're two explanations for the pasuk that was Hinani Mevi Elo Omazeh Ro Pri Machshavoisam. The first explanation was in the Tanaic source, where a machshava, thoughts that are oisapri. When Rashi said on that, Shekiyem Machshavosav Yosa, he schemed and carried out his evil plan. So regarding that, then there is punishment for the scheming stage as well. We continue in the Gemara. Ula, Omar, Ula, according to Rashi, is a second explanation regarding pre-machshavoisam. So Ula Omar kidi Rav Huna. Ula explains the pasuk based on Rav Huna's approach. If you look in Rashi, we're gonna learn the Rashi together just by way of introduction to the Gemara. Ula Omar, the Rashi that we're looking at, you'll see is maybe two-fifths of the way up from the end of the Rashi. Ula Omar, ha dichtiv pri machshavoisam, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that was quoted at the end of the source, is pre-machshavoisam, the fruits of their thoughts. The oiver v'shoine ksiv. That's a reference to a person who commits a sin in a repeat fashion. He sinned and then sinned again. Ki hodar maharer lasois, when he, after sinning, he then plans to do the sin again. At that point, his thoughts to do the sin again, mitzarefes lemaisa. That level, that stage of thought then is joined together with the actual committing of the sin. Vafilu lo ovid lo, even if he doesn't commit the sin a second time, at that point the thought alone is punishable. Ein chazorosu l'shem shemayim. After a person sinned and he plans to sin again, and for whatever reason he doesn't do the sin a second time, his retraction or his non-committing at that point isn't something that's out of say a pure motivation. Elo shelohu tzrichlo, or he didn't need to do it. Kid Rav Huna, based on Rav Huna's approach, de'omar nasis lo keheter, that a person who sins and repeats the sin is in his eyes, the sin is no longer considered sinful. It's considered like something allowed. The Gemara. Ula Omar, Kid Rav Huna, the Omar Rav Huna, in explaining the pasuk of pre-machshavoisam, that there's punishment for mere thoughts, is based on Rav Huna that says, Kevan she'ovar odam avera v'shana ba, once a person sins and repeats the offense, we skip a couple words that we have in brackets, nasis lo keheter. It's become like permitted. I would like to upgrade our explanation just one bit. Regarding the Rashi that we read, it appears that the punishment for the thoughts of committing the Avera sets in after he has actually sinned twice. So he sinned, repeated the sin, and then planned to do the sin a third time. Not like we said before, a second time, rather a third time. He is punished for his thinking, for his thoughts, his planning to do the sin a third time. Ah, he didn't actually sin a third time, but once he sinned twice, it, in his eyes, it's no longer considered a sin. So his thinking to do it a third time, and not actually executing the sin, that, let's say, that desisting from committing it a third time was not because of some type of pure motive, but rather because of some type of, say, conventional reason that he didn't continue a third time to actually sin. But after he's been Ovar Vishana, the Lashon of the Gemara was Kivan Sheovar Odom Aver Vishana, which means he did it a second time, in his eyes it's no longer considered sinful. Now, we did skip a couple words. Let's go over the Gemara again. Rav Huna says, Kevan she'ovar odom avera v'shana ba, hutra lo. Now here, this expression is simply inaccurate, but we translate, hutra lo means, for him, it has become allowed. So what do you mean? It's become allowed. Hutru lo salka beitach. Do you mean if a person eats a cheeseburger twice, the third time it's allowed for him and prohibited for everyone else? Ela nasis lo keheter. Once a person has sinned twice, he's eaten a cheeseburger twice. The third time, when he's about to eat it a third time, at that point in his eyes, there's nothing wrong with eating a cheeseburger. Of course, it goes without saying that roasting or cooking dairy, milk, and meat together is a sin. And it's a sin actually to cook it and to eat it. The Gemara continues. Before we look in the Gemara text itself, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. Avera beseser, that means the committing of sin in private, in a hidden fashion. And Odom shigitzro mizgaber olav, a description of a person and what is he to do when he feels that his Yetzer's evil inclination is just overpowering him and he can't control himself. The Gemara. Om Rabbi Avo Mishum Rabbi Chanina. Noach loy le'odom shiavor avero beseser v'al yechalil shem shamayim befarhesya. It would be better for a person to sin, if we put it this way, if he has to sin, better for him to do it in private than to do it in public. Doing it in public would be a chilul Hashem, we mentioned earlier, because people will see him, and certainly in the context of a person that is honorable, people learn from him, so they will do the same, and that would be a chilul Hashem, the violation, the defaming of God's name. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Ve'atem beis Yisrael koy omar Hashem ish gilulav l'chu avodu va'achar." Im einchem shomim li, v'shem kodshi loy sechalalu. The pasuk describes a person who is going to be sinful. So it's saying, go and sin, but don't desecrate my name. And desecration of God's name is, as we said, if the sin is done in public, people see him and contend, follow suit. That's a desecration of God's name. Omar Reveloi Hazokin. Im ra Odom Shiyitzro Mizgabrolov. If a person sees that his evil inclination is just getting the better of him, he's trying to overcome it and he can't. Yelech Lemokum Shema Kirinoso, then the advice Reveloi gives is he should go to a place that he is not recognized, people don't know him. Vilbash Shurim Viskasishurim, he should wear and cover himself with black garments, viase kemo shelibo chafetz, and do as his heart, as his evil inclination is pushing him, v'al yichalel shem shemay b'vrasya, and do not under any circumstance desecrate God's name in public. There happens to be a controversy amongst the commentaries as to how to understand Rabbi Loi's approach. There is a reference to this machloikis in the Tosfos that we mentioned. We should mention this Rashi's commentary, who basically approaches this the way the Gemara text reads. The Rabbeinu Hananel featured in the Tosfos doesn't agree with that approach. We're not going to present all the different possibilities in understanding this Gemara, but it's enough that we say that it's a topic that needs to be researched beyond the translation that we're offering. Rashi, though, we should read together. Yilbash Shchurim, Rashi says, Shelo yira atzmoy b'chvoidoy, by wearing black clothing, which is, we'll say, is uncharacteristic for the person described in the Gemara. He should put on something black. It's a type, we'll say, it's a color of clothing that might have the effect of subduing the individual. Shelo yira atzmo b'chvoidai, that he, by putting on these kind of garments, he doesn't see himself dressed honorably. Ulai yirach levavo b'kach. Maybe that will have an effect. V'gam im yechta ein odom noisein leiv. And even if he does sin, she said that Rashi is, we call it maybe sitting on the fence, in the sense that he's looking at this advice as not simple go out and sin in this unrecognizable fashion, but rather stage one is put on the black clothing. Maybe that will quell the fire of passion in the individual's heart. And even if he does stage two, v'gamim yechta, even if he does sin, eidon musim leiv, v'she'eno choshubenem, l'chein yilbashchon, people who put on these type of clothing, this color of clothing, and certainly in the time of the Gemara, I can't say that today you would necessarily associate someone with a dark business suit as being someone of little honor, but the principle is what we extract from the Gemara. The dark clothing, the idea of black clothing, is an idea where the clothing are not, they're not a source of honor to the one wearing them, so that even if he is seen sinning, people aren't going to say that he is a trend setter. He is someone that we want to emulate. Because people who dress like that in this type of clothing are those kind of people that we would not call honored and respected. So that even if in truth you're dealing with someone that is honored and respected, but since he's putting on these shchurim, the people around who don't recognize him aren't going to follow. If you like puns, they're not going to follow suit. Because he is dressed in such a way that doesn't attract public admiration. We continue in the Gemara with a question. Eini, is that so? V'ha tanan. There is a Mishnah that says, Kol shelochos al kvod kinei roi loi shelo ba li olam. Anyone who has no compassion, concern for the honor of the Creator, better that he would not have been created. Mahi, and what is that? So there are two pshatim. Rabba Omar Zeha Mistako Bekeshes. That's one who gazes upon a rainbow. And what's important for us is number two, Rav Yosef Omer Zeha Oiver Avera Beseser. A person who hides himself and sins in hiding, thinking that God isn't going to see him, that is someone who's not chosal kvodo. So how can Rebbe Lo Azokain suggest that a person goes into a place where no one sees him? It's a type of oivir avera b'seiser, where he's not recognized and he there goes and sins, but the Almighty sees him. Lo kashya, there is no question in the first place. Ha de motzi kayef litzrei v'ha de lo motzi kayef litzrei. If you're dealing with someone that is motzi kayef litzrei, can subdue. He has enough inner strength to subdue the evil inclination. He yields to it anyway, in private, thinking, well, no one sees me. That's lo chos al kvod kono. He doesn't have honor for the honor of the Almighty. So if he thinks the Almighty doesn't have infrared vision, can't see in the dark. There is, on the other hand, the unfortunate situation of lo motzi kayef litzrei. He's simply overcome with a passion for sin, and in a case like that, so minimize the damage by not creating a chilul Hashem, as Reb Eloi directs. Tanan Hossam. There in the Meforshim, there are those that point out that this is not a literal Mishnah, but it's a paraphrase of a Mishnah. Nevertheless, it's presented as a Tanaic source. Ein mekifin b'chilul Hashem, echad shogeg v'echad mezid. My ein mekifin. What does this phrase mean? Amar Marzutra she'ein oisim kechenvani. Marzutra takes the word mekifin to mean buying on credit. Chenvoni is a store owner. People will go into a shop, a generally speaking, some type of small shop where the proprietor knows you well, and he extends you credit so that you can buy and buy and buy. You don't pay immediately. You pay at the end of the month. That's hakofa. So Marzusha says when it comes to Chilul Hashem, when it comes to a desecration of God's name, and he goes so far as to say in the Tanaic source, even if it's unwitting, and certainly if it's bemazed with intention, Ein Makifin, there's no extension of credit. Rather, punishment will be immediate. Mor Brei Deravna Omar Lomar, the term Ein Makifin has another explanation. Sheim Hoiso Shkulo Machras. If you have an individual that is Shkula, equal 50% merit, 50% sin, but on the side of sins, he happens to have Chilul Hashem, a sin, let's say, a sin that he committed in public and people will learn from him. In a case like that, so we say that even though he's 50-50, machras means that will weigh down the side of the balance scale with the 50% sin. So Rashi explains that the word mekifin has to do with analyzing or concentrating, looking upon something with precision. So that here you have a person who we viewed his balance scale with precision, found that he was 50% merit, 50% sin, and on the side of sins there was Chilul Hashem, so he's in trouble. It will weigh down the side of sin. Tonu Rabbonan. The Oilom, we continue now at the top of Omid Beis. Yira Odom Atzmo Ki'ilu Chetzio Chayev V'Chetzio Zakai. A person should view himself as being half and half, half merit, half sinner. And as a result of looking at oneself in that way, also mitzvah achas, he then commits one more mitzvah, ashrov, fortunate is him, the shechriya atzmo lekafslus, he's weighed himself down in favor of merit. Ovar aver achas, he was a 50-50 individual, committed one sin, oilo, woe unto him, shechriya atzmo lekafslus, he's weighted himself down now with the majority of his behavior in, on the sin side of the scale. Shenemar v'chote echod yabe toiva harbe. Then we explain b'shvil chet yichidi shechota, because of one sin oivid menu toivis harbe, he loses all of the many merits that he had. Reb Elozer Reb Shimon Oimer lefi sha'olam nidon achar rubo vayochid nidon achar rubo. Since the world is judged in accordance with the majority, and the individual is judged according to the majority of his behavior, also mitzvah achas ashrav shechriyas atzmo v'es kololum lekafslus. Up till any given point, the world was 50-50, and now I make the decision to commit to perform a mitzvah, so my performing of the mitzvah weighted down me into becoming a tzaddik, into becoming called, I will say, righteous, and now the world has one more righteous individual weighting down the side of humanity, favoring the zchus, the side of merit, and that would result in a positive judgment for the world. And in the negative, Ovar Avera Achas, he decided to do one sin, Oilo Shechuyas Asmo Yes Kol Olam Lekaf Choyva Shenemar V'Choyte Echod V'Chulei. We saw that pasuk quoted just a few lines up, V'Choyte Echod Yabei Toiva Harbe, because of one sin a great loss will be experienced. And we explained, Bishvil Chet Yechidi Sh'Oso Zeh, because of one sin that this gentleman carried out, Ovad mimenu mikol ha'olam toiva harbe. He loses, and the entire world loses out. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, afilu tzadik gomor koyamov. Even a person who was a completely righteous individual all his life, umorad bachrona, and at the end of his life he rebelled, went off the path, ibed es horishonos. He loses all of his original pious merit. Merit through the life of piety. Shenemar tzidka satzadik lo tatzilenu biyom pisho. The righteousness of the righteous will not save them on the day of his sin. And as Rav Shmuel Baruch Hu just explained, this is a person that at the end of his life he decides to rebel. The Gemara will elaborate on that in a couple lines. In contrast, Yafilu Rosh Gomer Kol Yomov, a person who led his entire life in rishus, in sin, in wickedness, V'osa Tshuva Bachrona, and at the end repented, Ein Maskirin Lo Shuv Risho, no mention is made any further of his original wickedness. Shenema v'rishus orosha lo yichoshel bo biyom shuvo me'risho. The evil of the wicked will not be a source of stumbling on the day that he repents. Now, going back to the case of the tzaddik that rebelled, the Gemara asks, v'neve kemechza avonos u'mechza zechuyos. Let him be, at worst, let's say 50% sin, 50% merit. Why do you say above, regarding a tzaddik, person who led an entire life of righteousness, and at the end, he rebelled, at the end he decided to pursue a path of sin, that he loses all of his life of righteousness. He loses all the merit of the majority of his life. Why should that be? Omer Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that what was described above is a special situation. B'toya al harishonos. Not only at the end of his life did he decide to sin, but he also has regret over his life up till that point of righteousness. That's toya al harishonos. He has regret over the Rishonis, over all that which he had lived up till that point. He regrets all of the mitzvahs, the commandments and the precepts of the Almighty that he had performed. If, however, a person led a life of righteousness and at the end he succumbed to some type of passion of the evil inclination, that was not what we were describing before. You notice in the new Mishnah we have diamonds on the side under our Mivneh heading, the structural note, where Hadgosha is called Sheyeshno, V'chol She'eino. Two contrasting phrases. The Mishnah, Kol Sheyeshno B'mikru V'mishnah V'derech Eretz, a person who has studied the written Torah, the oral Torah, and has lived a life of Derech Eretz, I would say a proper existence. Lo b'mehera hu choyte. He will not come to sin quickly. He's guarded. He's involved with the study of Torah and Derech Eretz. In addition to his Torah study, he lives at peace and tranquility, amicability with fellow man. He will not come to sin quickly. He's, well guarded from sin. Shenemar, v'chut ha-meshulosh lo b'mehero yinotek. The three-stranded cord or string will not come apart quickly. The chol she'eino lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishna v'lo b'derech eretz, Eino Min Hayishuv. He who has no Torah study, he who is lives like a churl, so he is not Min Hayishuv. He doesn't provide any, we'll say, there's no value in terms of, we'll say, community existence. Someone that doesn't have any Torah study, someone that's churlish and brutish in his behavior, he should move out to the desert. The Yishuv is a term meaning the community, where a place that's settled. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading: Ta'am shetzadikim soivlim yisur b'olam hazeh u'rishayim nenim b'olam hazeh. We offer here an explanation. It's a very delicate, sensitive, philosophical topic, but the Gemara presents it the way it does. The suffering of the righteous in this world and the good life of the wicked in this world. One of the pillars of Judaism involves the acceptance, the awareness, the belief in that there is more to existence than we call this world, the world that we live in, the physical world. There's another dimension. Once you assume that, once you believe that, then what we continue reading will have a great deal of meaning. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, Lema Tzadikim Nimshalim B'Olam Hazeh, the righteous in this world, to what can they be compared? Nimshalim, from the word Moshal, an analogy. What analogy can we apply? And we're saying this, we're asking this in the context of the righteous that experience suffering and pain. So the analogy is as follows: Le'ilon, a tree, Shikulu Oime B'mokim Tara, the majority of the tree, the trunk of the tree, is situated in a place of Tahara, purity. V'noifoi noite l'mokum tuma, and nofo, its branch, a small part of the tree, is overshadowing a place of defilement. If there is, let's say, a grave, a body, a corpse in the ground, and above that spot there is a branch of the tree, so that branch is said to be in a mokum of tuma. Nixas nofo, if that branch is cut off, kulo ome pemokum tara, then the entire tree that remains is in a place of purity. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi yisum al tzadikim b'olam hazeh, so too the Almighty will bring suffering and pain upon the righteous in this world. The righteous are people that have a minimum amount of sins, a minority of sins. Those sins are purged, are atoned for through suffering in this world, so that they inherit in a full sense the benefits, the rewards of the world to come. Your beginning might be mitzar, might be small, but your end is very great. And to what can we compare the wicked in this world? And this is presented in the context of the wicked that have toiva, that experience benefit, pleasure and joy in this world. So the analogy is le'ilon shikulo oimei b'mokum tuma, v'noifoi noite l'mokum tara, a tree, the trunk, the bulk of the tree is located in a place of defilement, and a branch is overshadowing a non-defiled area. Even the wicked have a small amount of merit. So nixas nofo, the branch is cut off. And that's a reference to give the wicked the reward for their minority of merit in this world. And once they receive their reward for whatever merit they had accumulated in this world, that's it. They got their reward. Kulo oimet b'mokom tuma. Once you cut off that branch of the tree that was just described, the rest of the tree is now in a place of total defilement. So too, the Almighty bestows upon the wicked a lot of good in this world, a lot of pleasure and benefit, so as to cast them out and leave as their inheritance the lowest step, the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, in the world to come. Shenemar yesh derech yashor lifnei ish v'achriso darkei moves. We look at Rashi. Rashi, about a third of the way down from the top, yesh derech yashor lifnei ish kesheroyin harishoyim shalvosam, when the wicked see that, well, they've led a life of wickedness, and things are at peace there, things are going good for them. Nireis darkom b'neim yashorah. They come to the conclusion that their life of sinfulness was a straight path. Little did they know that that path was a path leading to doom. On the side of the Gemara, we have an Osei topic heading: Talmud Godol O Maise Godol. As we pursue this piece of Gemara, we're going to limit ourselves more or less to the translation of the Gemara. But I must say, by way of introduction, that this is what we would call a very hot topic. The issue here is what deserves emphasis, what's considered the greater accomplishment of an individual. Is it the study of Torah, or is it the execution or the performance of mitzvos, maisa, actions? In addition to the Gemara, there is a very important source to be aware of in the Tosfos. The Tosfos that I'm referring to is the first Tosfos on the page, and I want to highlight the last two lines of that first Tosfos. The Tosfos points out, Avol Odom Shelomad Kvar. After we're presented in the Gemara with an opinion, the opinion for Bekiva, that says that pursuit of Torah is greater, that Torah study is greater than the performance of mitzvahs. Tosfos, though, qualifies this, that after a person has amassed a great amount of Torah learning, then hamaisa toiv yoser milimud, then the performance of mitzvahs, the actions, the action aspect of Torah fulfillment becomes greater than the study of the Torah per se. I know that this is a very delicate topic. Once again, we're presenting the issue in a translation level, a superficial level. I will not claim that this is the entire story, but one might note by his familiarity with Torah scholars, Gedolei Yisrael, and many great Torah scholars in their advanced years, you find them very much preoccupied with communal services, communal obligations, and sometimes one wonders how much Torah study do they actually pursue when they're so involved with with performance of communal obligations and fulfilling communal needs. That phenomenon is, I think, addressed by the point we just saw in the Tosfos. So without any further ado, let us go into the Gemara, where this issue comes up. Now, what is to be emphasized? Torah study or actions? And using the Tosfos that we just made reference to as a backdrop, we can certainly focus on a person in his development years, in his young years, before he has amassed a vast amount of Torah knowledge. What should he emphasize? So now the Gemara. Ukvar hoya Rabbi Tarfon Zekene Mesubin Balias Beis Natza Belud. Rabbi Tarfon and other sages were Mesubin, were reclining. They were assembled in an aliyah. An aliyah is a second story, not a ground level entrance, but and sometimes it's translated as an attic. But it's an aliyah is the upper level of a house. And the house was called Beis Natza, the house of Natza in Lud. Lud was the name of a city. Nishala Sheila Zubathnam, the following question was presented to Rabbi Tarfon and the accompanying sages. Talmud Godol or Maise Godol? Is the study of Torah greater, or is the Maise, the actions, the performance of mitzvahs in the proactive fashion, greater? Nene Rabbi Tarfon v'yomer Maise Godol. Rabbi Tarfon said that the Maise, the action, is greater. Nene Rabbi Akiva v'yomer Talmud Godol. And Rabbi Akiva said that greater is the study of Torah. Nene Kulam v'yomru, the entire group answered or responded and said, Talmud Godol, greater is Torah study. Shatalmud mevi lidei maisa, that through Torah study one then comes to the fulfillment of mitzvahs. The Ritva points out that in Torah study you're actually accomplishing two things. The study of Torah per se is a mitzvah. It itself is what we call a maisa. It's the action. It's the involvement in the performance of a mitzvah. And in addition to that, you then know how to perform other mitzvahs. If I may, just by way of analogy, people speak about maisim, doing acts of loving kindness, visiting the sick, acts of charity. If one has not studied Torah, those very acts of loving kindness, of mitzvos bein adam lechavero, he will not know how to perform them. And on occasion, he can actually commit more damage than good. There are cases of visiting the sick where there are types of infirmities that warrant social isolation. A person who has, let's say, no control of his digestive tract, and he can end up, let's say, without any prior notice, losing control, either vomiting or the other end of the body having some type of uncontrollable release. Imagine people are visiting him. They're visiting the sick. They think they're doing a favor, but the individual himself or herself would prefer being left alone because of the intense embarrassment that they would experience having people around them. Once one studies the laws of Bikur Cholim, one studies the Torah and its instructions and how to fulfill that act of loving kindness, visiting the sick, one will discover that there are laws, there are times of day, there are different kinds of ailments. The Torah has a system. It dictates. The Torah comes to the word hora'ah. It's a source of teaching, directives. And it's not just what comes to me, what my heart thinks, my emotional source of motivation for doing things that I consider good. The greatness of of Torah, amongst other things, is that it's a divine set of rules and directions whereby if a person observes it, he will avoid, in almost all cases, any negative fallout. Likewise, can you imagine the area of helping people financially? Charity. You want to help your friend who just declared bankruptcy, and you say, "Hey, Bill, I heard you just declared bankruptcy, and here, take $100 and take your wife out to dinner on my account." Bill that just declared bankruptcy did so in a private fashion and didn't want all his neighbors knowing about it. And you're going screaming across the street, "Hey, Bill, that's embarrassing. It would be better that you don't offer your assistance, offer your kindness, than subject him to that embarrassment." And once again, if one studies the laws of charity, the laws of tzedakah, one will learn how to fulfill the mitzvah. By not studying those laws, one can end up doing more damage than good. So that it should not come as any surprise for us to see that Godol Talmud Shatalmud Mevili De Maisa, with that the study of Torah enables me to fulfill the Maisa in the proper way. Without that, we just gave two examples concerning Bikur Cholim and Stoka, how you can end up doing more damage than good. Let's continue in the Gemara. I don't think we did justice to Rabbi Tarfon, but as we said before, we're not going to exhaust this rather all-consuming, delicate and sensitive topic. We continue. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Godol Talmud, great is the study of Torah. And here he presents this in a, say, chronological sense, that its preeminence is where it appeared historically. Shekodam l'chala arboim shana. Chala is a tithe that one separates from his dough and gives it to a kohen. It's certainly an act of loving kindness. You help the kohanim who don't have a portion of inheritance in the land of Israel. They receive tithes, and tithes are, say, a social necessity for sustaining those that otherwise would have nothing. The Torah was given 40 years before there was any obligation of the challah tithe. The challah tithe set in upon their entrance to the land of Israel. The Torah was given 40 years prior to that. The trumos ulamaisus chamishim varba. The Torah preceded the mitzvah of distributing truma and maaser tithes. Their obligation kicked in 14 years after they entered the land of Israel, after conquest and division, after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, or Kibush v'Chiluk. So the Torah preceded that by 54 years. L'shmitim shishim v'achas. Upon entrance to the land, so there was 14 years of Kibush v'Chiluk, and that's when the laws of the agricultural cycle began. 7 years after that was the first Shemitah. So that there were 21 years in the land of Israel, and that's when they began observing Shemitah, but 61 years prior to that was the giving of the Torah. L'yovlois ha-mea v'sholosh. The Torah preceded the observance of Yovel 103 years. Yovel is another mitzvah. It involves the freeing of all Jewish slaves, the return of properties to the original owners. Say, people who analyze things from a social perspective, there's a great deal of, let's say, a social sensitivity to the mitzvah of Yovel. I'm not suggesting, by the way, that the reason for mitzvahs has anything to do with what reasons we offer mitzvahs, but it's a residual aspect of Torah the laws and the mitzvahs of Torah are God's commands, and God is of infinite wisdom and infinite intent, and we cannot fathom the ultimate reason for mitzvahs. But nevertheless, there is also this, we'll say this, social factor involved in these mitzvahs. I'm only saying that because of the context of the Gemara, all in the context of Talmud Gadol. The study of Torah precedes these mitzvahs of Maisa. Now, Yovos, it was mentioned here that Yovos was 103 years after the Torah. So the Gemara asks, and here we have a bracketed section, because here at this point the Gemara interrupts with a technical point. Why do you say 103 years when, in fact, if you make the calculation in a, let's say, more precise fashion, it's not 103 years, but rather 104 years. We mentioned that 40 years prior to entering the land, the Torah was given. The agricultural laws set in 14 years after they entered the land. So you have, we mentioned 40 plus 14, that's 54. And once the agricultural laws set in, then amongst the cycle of years, we mentioned the 7-year Shemitah cycle, the Yovel is a 50-year cycle. So after reaching year 54, when the agricultural cycle starts, 50 years after that, so we had 54 plus 50, that's Yovel. So why do you say that the Torah preceded Yovel by 103 years when it actually preceded it by 104 years? That's what the Gemara points out here in the brackets. Me'ah v'shalosh, me'ah v'arba havyon. It's 104, not 103. Kosovar Yovel mitchiloso hu mishamet. The opinion reflected over here is that the effects of Yovel, Meshameh, has to do with the stopping of agricultural activity, which in fact was really observed for the entire year before that, but it has to do also with the setting free of slaves, then the return of fields to their original owners, i.e. those that inherited those fields from their predecessors. So that Yovel has its effect, the freeing of slaves, the return of fields, from its very beginning. So that you're not counting a full 50 years from the beginning of the agricultural cycle, but rather you're counting a full 49 years. And then, right at that point, after 49 years, since the beginning of the agricultural cycle, then the Yovel has its effect. So it's accurate to say that the Torah preceded the Yovel by 103 years. Ukshem shalimud kodem lemaisa kach dinoi kodem lemaisa. And just like the study of Torah precedes the carrying out of mitzvahs, so too when it comes to accountability in heaven, when a person has to offer his accountability in front of the heavenly court for what kind of life he led, his accountability or punishment is given first for his if he didn't study Torah to his capacity, so he's held accountable for that, for punished for his bittul Torah before punishment for lack of fulfillment of other mitzvahs. Rashi says, just a couple lines up from here, on second thought, let's go on in the Gemara, and then we'll take a look at Rashi. The Gemara continues, Kidrav Hamnuna. This Tanaic source reflects what Rav Hamnuna says, Diyoma Rav Hamnuna, Ein Tchilas Dinoi Shel Odom Elo Al Divrei Torah. Tchilas Dino, now this is the Rashi I originally wanted to look at. Rashi said, Tchilas Dino, Liyom Hadin, when a person comes to his day of judgment, Tchilas Tviyos Shalov, Bipnei Ma Lo Asakta B'Torah. The first claim made against him is, why didn't you pursue Torah study? That's what Rav Hamnuna says, and that's what we saw in the Tanaic source, that the dino, the din of Talmud Torah is koidim l'maisa. And Rav Hamnuna cites a pasuk, Shneimar, the pasuk says, poiter mayim reishis modoin. And on this, Rashi says, poter mayim haporeg. Poter is to free oneself. One casts off the yoke. Haporeg ul Torah reishis modon. The word modon from the word din. Hu tchilas dinoi. V'ein mayim elo Torah. So in the pasuk that he cites is poter mayim, one who casts off mayim. Mayim is water, but mayim is also Torah. Torah is compared to mayim. So one who casts off Torah, reishis modon. That's his first, we'll say, point of judgment. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ukshem shedinoi koidem lemaise, kach soro koidem lemaise. Just like the first judgment of a person is over his lack of Torah study, so too, reward that's given is given first for his pursuit of Torah, for he who pursued Torah study. That's given preeminence in the distribution of reward before reward for Maisa. Shneimar, Vayitin Lematzes Goyim, Gamalumim Yirshu, Yirashu, Bavur, Yishmu, Chukov, Vesurusov, Yinsoru. The Rashi explains Bavur Yishmu Chukov, the Omar Morliel, we learned this in a few dapim ago, Tishmerun is Zu Mishnah. So that Bavur, in this pasuk, we see Bavur Yishmeru Chukov, that is a reference to Torah study. That, you see, is preeminent in this, in the order of things in this pasuk. I should just add that the pasuk is a pasuk featuring reward, where it says Vayitein lem artzes goyim ve'omel umim yiroshu, the righteous will merit reward, without getting into detail of actual translation, but they'll merit reward. Bavur yishmeru chukav v'soros of yinsoru, for the study of Torah, and yinsoru is the fulfillment of the mitzvos. The Gemara continues, and before we glance at the side, the Nosei, the topic heading, Begnus Mi shelo b'mikra v'lo b'mishnah v'lo b'derech eretz. The criticism of he who is not involved in any Torah study and who is churlish in his social behavior. The Gemara. Kol she'enu lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishnah, and it said v'lo b'derech eretz, enu min ha'yishuv. Om Rabbi Yochanan, u'posol li'edus. Rashi says, "Uposleis" means he's disqualified from serving as a witness. The kevan she'enu min ha'yishuv, since he's not it's not a pleasant individual. As we say, he's brutish. Ein makbid al atzmo, he doesn't have any self concern. V'ein lo boishes ponim, he has no sense of shame or embarrassment. And later in the Gemara, Rashi says, "V'chein ha'oichel b'shuk," so to someone who eats in public areas, Hoyovein Makbid al Kvodo, Eno Boish Lizazobatsmo Vili Poseil. A person who has no self respect, who has no sense of dignity, he also is not someone that you can rely on for testifying in a truthful fashion. Tonu Rabbonon. One who eats in the market is like a dog. And there are those that say he's also disqualified from serving as a witness. There is additional commentary on this. We mentioned already that one who eats in public, it's an expression of someone who lacks a certain amount of dignity. I'm not going to get into the question of what is he eating, where exactly is he eating, but suffice it to say, in a general perspective, it would be hard to imagine a person that we would say is a highly dignified individual eating a submarine sandwich, walking down a major boulevard in a major city. So, if you just could imagine, everyone can picture in their own minds who they consider a highly dignified individual, and just imagine almost absurdity of him or her holding a one foot long submarine sandwich, walking down, I don't know, Fifth Avenue or the Champs-Élysées or whatever you consider a major thoroughfare, and chomping away at his food. So one who eats in a public area is, as you can see, is compared to a dog, and because of his lack of self-respect, we elaborated on this just before, he cannot be relied upon. If he doesn't respect himself, why would he be concerned with the welfare of the next person as well? So if he has to testify, you couldn't rely on his accuracy when he doesn't have his even concern for his own dignity. As I said, there's a discussion in terms of details. Does this involve everything? I tried to give an extreme example to make the point clearer. But for detail, consult the commentaries, the Tosfos comments on this, and then you can further research this by looking into halachic svarim. Omar Rav Idi Bar Oven Halacha Ki Yesh Omrim. Here the Rav Idi rules that someone who is oichel bashuk cannot be relied upon for testimony. Dorash Bar Kapora. Bar Kapora teaches Ragzon. A person who is ragzon is wrathful, temper oriented individual. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Mem Aleph. Lo also biyodoi ella ragzenusa. He has no benefit from that. Rashi says at the top, lo also biyodo bischoro ella kichesh besor ragzenuso lo nistaker klum. Person who is who had experiences a temper fits, an angry type individual. All that he accomplishes, he simply is kichesh besor, means he weakens himself and has no reward, no benefit from that. Uladam toiv mat imim oisoy mipri maisov. As far as the good person is concerned, he gets the reward. Literally gets the taste of the fruits of his actions. The chol she'eino loy b'mikra v'loy b'mishna v'loy b'derech eretz. Anyone who has no Torah study in him, who is not pleasant amongst his community members. Dor from the loshen neder. Dor hanoa mimenu, forswear benefiting from him. Stay away from him. Shneamar uva moishav leitzim lo yoshav. Moshavo moishav leitzim. The churlish individual is considered one who dwells amongst scoffers. Don't dwell amongst them. And hence Bar Kapora's teaching to encourage us to pursue a life of pleasantry, avoid anger, and thereby benefit from your kindly positive actions. Reward is given for everything. As you can see, we've reached the end of the first perek of Kiddushin, which actually represents half of the Masechta. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Mark Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.